Appreciate the goodness of God. Amen. So glad to see you here this morning also. Amen. Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. One other announcement I almost forgot. Brother Al Leach from West Boniface Baptist Church sent me a text yesterday. And this evening at 6, he will be doing a drawing and a message on the parable of the candle. You that know Brother Al know that he's an artist. He draws. He did it here once for us. He draws as he preaches. He draws a picture about what he's preaching about. And it's always really good. So that starts at 6 o'clock this evening. So if you're free at 6, run by over there, West Boniface Baptist Church, right across from the Boniface Cemetery. And I'm sure that you'll enjoy it. Amen. We always do. 6 o'clock this evening. Also, the 30th of this month, at 6 o'clock, I'll be preaching for Brother Al over there in the evening service. Amen. So, remember that. You might want to make sure you're out of town or something, but I'll be preaching over there that Sunday evening. Amen. Appreciate the invite. Numbers chapter 22, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 22. We're going to continue the series we began on voices from unexpected places, particularly voices from animals, and we're dealing with the subject of a voice from a donkey. A voice from a donkey. Numbers 22, verse 22. The Bible says, "And God's anger was kindled because he, Balaam, went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him." Now, you may have a lot of enemies in life, but the last enemy you want in life is God himself. That's what that word means. "Now, he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him." Balaam was. "And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way." Get back on the trail. "But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff." Now notice this. "And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. And she said unto Balaam, 'What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?'" Now, I don't know about you, but about that point, I wouldn't need an ass. I wouldn't need a donkey. I wouldn't need directions. I'd be like Jerry Clower where they were handling them snakes. "Where would you like a door?" I'd have hit the road. But look what this hard-headed, hard-hearted man did. "And Balaam said unto the ass," no questions, no curiosity, he just continues the conversation. He said, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, and for now would I kill thee." He's pretty mad, isn't he? "And the ass said unto Balaam, 'Am I not thine ass? I belong to you. Upon which thou hast written, ever since I was thine unto this day, was I ever wont to do so unto thee?' And he said, 'Nay.'" At least he had some common sense. Amen. "Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam." Now notice, the first thing he did was open the mouth of the ass. The second thing he did was open the eyes of Balaam. "And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Now you know why God was angry at Balaam. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless he had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Amen. Now, notice in verse 34 that Balaam made a confession. He said, I have sinned. But now notice the basis of his confession. The basis of his confession, he says, was what? Ignorance. I did not know that you were in the way. Amen. Now, he should have known, because God had already before this time told him, you cannot curse my people. That's what he was praying about. Amen. Whether or not he could curse God's people. Now you need to understand something, my friend. There are some things you do not need to pray about. When God has stated something in His Word, there's no need for you to get down and pray about it. God's already made His will clear. God has already made His desire clear. And so if you go praying about that, then you have wasted your time. I used to tell the churches that I pastored, I don't care what color that you paint the wall. I don't care what you do to this building. Amen. It doesn't matter to me. But what happens in the pulpit does concern me. And the Word of God and things that God has said, we do not need to pray about. We do not have to pray about whether or not we are going to support missions. That's a part of the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ to His church. What a terrible thing it is for Balaam to feel like if he went to God and prayed about doing something that was contrary to God's will, that God would say, okay, you go ahead and do it. Amen. Now listen, God allows us to do what we want to do a lot of times, and we consider that a part of His permissive will. But my friend, when we know God's perfect will, there's no need in us praying about that. Amen. Just do what God said to do. Now, three times, Balaam has gone to Balak. He went up in three different places and made offerings unto the Lord. And if you research those places, they were everywhere that there were Baal altars too. So he's seeking God in a place he ought not be about something he wants to do that he ought not do, because God's made it plain that's not His will. Now the question is, why did he do that? Well, because of the kind of man that Balaam was. We talked last time when we preached about Balaam's reputation. If you'll remember, he was what I called a magic man. He was a man that was a student of not just simply God Almighty, Jehovah, but of many gods. He knew a lot about Baal. He knew a lot about a lot of idolatrous gods. He knew a lot about demons that he perceived were gods. Amen. And that's how he did a lot of the things that he did. He was described as a diviner. He was described as a soothsayer. So three times he's gone to try to curse the people of God, that God has said, you shall not curse them. And therefore, he was not able to curse them. That made the king mad. Amen. So why? Why would he go three times to try to do something that God has made plain he does not want him to do? Well, there are a whole lot of reasons. But the main reason that he went is for the money. You see, a diviner, a soothsayer, that was their occupation. Not only their religion, but their occupation, amen. And they made good money at it, amen. And so he went because he wanted the money. But God would never give him permission to do that, amen. So he was not only a magic man, but he was also a money man. Now we need to learn something right quick. We found last time that Balaam was a false prophet. He was not a prophet of God. He was not a saved man. He spoke parables, but he spoke those because God opened his mouth, amen, like he did the dumb ass, and he couldn't say anything except God wanted him to, what God wanted him to say, amen. It is possible to know about God. It is possible to know the Bible, but yet not to know God. That differentiates between religion and salvation, amen. Religion and true eternal life. And so he's headed out. Now, if you read the context prior to where we started there, God told Balaam, he said, if the men come to you in the morning, he said, go with them. They weren't there with him. They were encamped somewhere else. And if you look at the context, you'll find that the next morning, Balaam got up and saddled this ass and he took off. There is no indication that those men came to him like God said, but yet he got up and went. Why? He was a false prophet and he was in the religion business, not because he had a desire to know truth, not because he had a desire to know God, but because he had a desire to make money.
Right. Amen.
Now, brothers and sisters, you'd be wise to think about that next time you turn that television on and try to find you a preacher. You say, well, preacher, there's some good ones on there. They're the exception, dear friend, not the rule. The main reason they're on is money. I've said many times, one of the worst things that ever happened to the local church is so-called Christian television. Do you know what that crowd did before they had Christian television? They would come through your town in tents. Now, there was a group on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and anybody who's hearing this on Facebook that's got any age on them will recognize the name Jessup. There was a group known as the Jessups, and they would come through in these tents, and they'd have all these big meetings and everything. And friend, they were in it for one reason, and that was money, and buddy, they made the money. And when my wife's mother died, and we were going through her things, we found a letter there where she had sent money to the Jessups for the healing. I think it was a bow when he had that appendicitis. I'm not sure. Friends, they were a bunch of crooks. Everybody on the Mississippi Gulf Coast knew that. And they did this because there was money in it. But now there's no need to go to the trouble to buy a tent, to erect a tent. All you've got to do is get you a place on Christian television and get your message out and tell people God wants to bless them. And one way that God will bless them is if you sow a seed of faith with me. You better be careful. You better be careful. Balaam was a false prophet. 2 Peter chapter 2 declares that to be so. So we've looked at Balaam's reputation and Balaam's religion. Now I want us to look at what I call Balaam's ride. His donkey that he was on. Amen. We see that he's on his way again to do that which God has ordered him not to do, to see if he can get away with it. But he says, if I can just make these offerings to God, it might bring favor of God toward me, and he'll let me curse them, and I'll go home with a fat wallet. Because Balak had said, son, I'll make you a rich man, and I'll make you a prominent man, I'll make you a powerful man. That was his focus. So here he is going on his old faithful ass that he's had so long. All of a sudden, and we talked about this a little last time, I'm not going to dwell on it now, but my friends, I want you to understand something. Animals can see things that you and I don't see.
Oh, yeah.
They can.
Yeah.
You've lived as long as I have. You've seen it in your life, amen, experienced it. And so here they are going. Now notice the Bible does not say that God opened the eyes of the ass. Does it? Says he opened her mouth. By the way, this was a female. That's a good thing. But he opened, he didn't say he opened his eyes, he opened his mouth. But friend, he could see that angel of the Lord without God opening up his eyes. The religious man, he couldn't see the angel of the Lord. Amen. So let's look at this one who's called the angel of the Lord. This is what we call in theological circles a theophany or a Christophany, where God manifests Himself in the Old Testament. Amen. So this was, when we think of angel, we think of a being. The word angel simply means a messenger is what it is. And they come in different forms and factors, amen. But this we know was the angel. It was God Himself. How do we know that? Because whenever God did open Balaam's eyes and he saw him, he fell flat on his face. Now you go later on and read John chapter 1. You'll find when Jesus heard, when John heard a voice on the Isle of Patmos there that sounded like a trumpet, he turned around to see who it was, and when he saw who it was, the one upon whom he had rested his head on his breast, the Bible says, he said, I fell on my face like I was dead. That's how we know this was not Michael, this was not Gabriel, this was not no ordinary angel, this was the Lord Himself, and He had a sword drawn in His hand. How many can remember in the book of Joshua, as they were fixing to go into Jericho and defeat that land, Joshua was praying and he looked over beside him and he saw a man standing there and he had a sword in his hand. And Joshua looked at him and he said, are you for us or are you against us? Are you with our enemies? He said, no, dear friend, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I come. Was that an ordinary man? No. Was that an ordinary angel? No. How do you know, preacher? Because then he said to Joshua, take your shoe off of your foot, because the ground that you're on is holy ground. Now, where'd you hear that before? Moses at the burning bush. This is God Himself who has come to destroy Balaam as he goes once again to do that which God has commanded him not to do. But here's his ask. He sees the angel of the Lord as he's going down the pathway. And so the ass, he not only recognizes who it is, he also knows what that sword means. So he turns. You've got to admit that this donkey was a faithful donkey to her owner. Amen? And that's why she said, well, how come you beat me? She turned to the side to get out of the path, and Balaam smote her to get her back over in the path. That angel of the Lord, he moved on up a little bit further. Amen? In a narrow place where they couldn't go to the left or right. There were two walls. And whenever the donkey saw him, he went to the left of the wall to avoid that angel with the sword, and he crushed Balaam's foot. Once again, Balaam smites her to get her to go back in the direction. The angel of the Lord then moved up to a place where you could not turn to the right or you could not turn to the left. So the donkey couldn't turn anymore to go to a field, to go up against a wall, so she just chose to collapse where she was and to go no further. So we see the presence of the angel, and I want you to notice the perception of the animal. Flip in your Bible to the New Testament right quick, to the book of 2 Peter toward the end of your Bible. Find a little book called 2 Peter, chapter number 2. We're going to look there because, believe it or not, Peter talks about this donkey. 2 Peter, chapter number 2. And verse number, see where we want to start. All right, he's talking about these false preachers. See if this doesn't sound relevant. In verse 14 of 2 Peter chapter 2, he describes them of having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. Look now, beguiling unstable souls. Where have you seen that word beguile before? 2 Corinthians 14 talks about, Paul says, I fear lest the serpent beguile Eve. Yeah. That's what she said when God came and said, what have you done? He said, the serpent beguiled me, is what she said. Amen. And so he says, these people, these false prophets, these false preachers, they do what they can to beguile unstable souls. What is an unstable soul? It's a soul that don't have an anchor fastened down good. Amen. That can be moved about. Amen. Unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetousness practices, cursed children. Now, he's going to compare these false prophets to the false prophet Balaam. Verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor. Now look, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. What does he mean, unrighteousness? He's talking about living wrong and doing wrong. Friend, it has wages. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But let me tell you this, there's big money in religion. Balaam, he loved doing wrong because it paid good. That's what he's saying. The Bible describes it. Peter describes it as the way of unrighteousness. And then he doesn't leave this little donkey out. Look. Verse 16. But was rebuked for his... What's that word?
Iniquity.
Iniquity. What does the word iniquity mean? It means lawlessness. Violation and disobedience of the law of God. He did that which God did not want him to do. Now, look what the rest of the verse says. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. Now look at the description of this donkey. He's called a dumb ass. Now that's Bible language. I don't want to offend you. That's Bible talk. I wouldn't advise you call anybody a dumb ass because it don't mean what this means. The word dumb here, what does that mean? It means he can't talk. It means he can't talk. But guess what? He did. And so that is significant. And it should have been significant to old Balaam. Why? Because Balaam did not know it, but he was only one step away from death and hell. The peril of this adversary. One step away from death and hell. Now, because of time, I've got to edit and go a little different direction here. But here's what I want you to see. Because what we see happening here with Balaam is exactly what happens with you and I in life. We're going down a road that is full of ignorance of the will of God and not having a will even to obey God's will. If we knew what that will was, we're headed straight along into death and destruction in our lives. And that's where we will wind up if somebody doesn't do something to change our direction.
Amen.
And so, in our life, as I've always said, and I used to tell the prisoners, there's some point in time where God's path and your path are going to cross. And I used to tell them, it might be right here at this prison. That might be why you're here. Amen. And so, we're going through life, and we're headed for death and destruction. God is standing there with His sword, and we deserve every bit of His wrath. But then, all of a sudden, somebody, something that we are ignorant of, tries to change our direction in life. It's kind of minor at first. The donkey just veered one way or the other to get out of the path to avoid death. Another place, it went against a wall because that was the only way to go. And it caused injury to old Balaam, a little bit of pain. And then when he could find nowhere to go, he just collapsed right where he was. The purpose of it was what? To try to keep Balaam from going straight into the wrath of Almighty God. I want to tell you something. There was a time, December 1971, when I had no desire for God. I was not looking for God. All I wanted to do was what everybody else wanted to do, and that was just what I wanted to do. Amen. And I wasn't looking for God, but I didn't know it. I was heading straight into death and destruction and an eternal hell. And that's where I would have wound up.
Right.
But you see, God had some dumb asses in my life. Amen. And I can literally list them out for you, just like what happened here. I believe I'll do that. December 1971. Movie came on the TV. We could only get one channel, youngins. Oh, you'd kill yourself, wouldn't you, if you didn't have that phone to go to. Yes, amen. And a movie come on, King of Kings. There's me and my cousin. We're like brothers. He's laying on the couch on the other side of my little living room, and I'm here, and that movie's on. And I remember looking at him, and I said, you know, I don't even know if there is such a thing as a God. That's what I said December of 1971. I had to move back in the city. The city made us move back in the city. I was living in a little single wide trailer behind Billy Miller. And I came in and I was tired and I collapsed on the floor. Once again, I turned on the one channel. Lo and behold, what was on? Billy Graham. Oh, man. Well, I was too tired to get up, turn it off. So I just laid there. And directly Billy said this. He said, I've got this book that I'll give you. If you'll just write me, I'll give it to you. It's called Reentry. If I'm not mistaken, it's in this library right in here. Because I found that book. I didn't want to write Billy Graham. But the very next day, I went to the bookstore looking for that book. It wasn't there, but I later on got it. What is God doing? He's taking somebody who has no desire for the will of God, don't want to do right, don't have the ability to do right. I'm headed for death, destruction, and hell. But God, through a dumb ass, begins to shift me in different directions to avoid the wrath of God. Two things thus far. Well, I didn't get saved, even though I got the book, but I did begin to read. It wasn't long after that, a young man named Jack Taylor, you've met him if you were here during revival, you've heard me mention him many times, he came up to me in the lunchroom of the Central Fire Station, and he had a Bible in his hand. I said, oh man, I hate that. I was just getting to like this boy, and now he's fixing to mess it up. And he came up to me. He'd just gotten saved not long before. He didn't know how to lead me to the Lord, but he wanted to do what he could. And he had his Bible open to Romans chapter 10 and showed me verses 9 and 10. He said, have you ever read these? This is so clear to me. Just like an ass collapsing underneath me. And I read that. You know what it meant to me? Not a thing. I said, my words were, yeah, that's nice. I don't know what it means. And he went back and sat down. Do you see what's happening? God is taking my dumb ass and changing my direction. It took an outside force. Why did it take an outside force? I did not have the ability to change my direction. No more than Balaam himself did. And so, my friend, it took an outside force that we call the Holy Ghost of God using these things in my life, and there was yet even one more, to change my direction because I was headed for hell. Brother, if you got saved, the same thing happened to you. Friend, if you decided one day, well, I'm going to get religious and I'm going to go to church, then all you are is religious. You're not saved. My friend, it takes a movement of Almighty God, whether through an ass, whether through a human being, whatever it is, to change your direction, to put you into a place where that you look up and realize that God is your enemy at this point in time, and you are headed for destruction because of that fact, till you finally cry out and say, I have sinned. Now notice Balaam said, I sin because of ignorance, amen. You see, you'll never get saved until first of all you realize you are a sinner.
That's right. Right.
Now, there may be a time that you're ignorant of that, as there was with me. But my friend, between all the swaying, the swaggering, and the bumping, God's going to reveal to you that you are a sinner. Seven men in the Bible, maybe I'll preach on them one day. Seven men in the Bible all said, "I have sinned to God." And all seven of those individuals were lost. Not only that, they stayed lost. The point I want you to see in this ask is that my friend, it's going to take an outside force to bring you to Christ. You are not going to do it yourself because, number one, you don't have a desire to come to God. Number two, you don't have the ability to come to God. But my friend, what he did after his ass got through bumping and collapsing, then he revealed himself to Balaam. He opened his eyes. Friend, after all that I've seen, all that I've said, the testimony of my friend, Billy Graham, all of a sudden I realized, friend, that I was a sinner. And the consequences of being a sinner was being in a state of enmity with God. And that unless something happened in my life, I'd spend eternity in hell. Friend, a dumbass is a pretty valuable thing to have, isn't it? Yes. Brother, the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost hadn't begun to nudge me in my life and point me in a different direction that would ultimately lead me to seeing Christ, I'd have never been saved. Amen. I want to ask you this morning, how did you come to Christ? Did He reveal Himself to you? Did He put you in a place where you could not see anything but Him? Did He bring you to a place where you realized that hell would be your home forever, and then you got saved? Amen. That's what happened to me. Now let's talk for a minute about an ass. What is an ass? It is a beast of burden. A donkey. Festus Hagen rides a mule. Well, there don't a lot of people ride a donkey. They're primarily a beast of burden. What does that mean? That means they do all the work. They do all the labor. Hallelujah. Who does all the work that's necessary for you to get saved? For me to get saved, amen. God Almighty does. And so this ass is a picture of God's work through the Holy Spirit, bearing the burden of leading ignorant people like you and I to a place of finding Christ. Now we're not going to go there for the sake of time. But go later to Matthew chapter 21. Jesus looked at His disciples. He's about to make what is called His triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He says, "Y'all go over here to a certain place." And He says, "There you'll see an ass tied." The book of Luke, He says, "with a colt." He said, "Bring them to me." He said, "If the owner says something to you, just say, 'The Lord has need of them.'" So they went and they got these beasts of burden. And Jesus got on an ass. If you compare all the harmony of the Gospels, you'll find that He got on the little colt. Now, friend, that would have got you, that would have got me in trouble. Bad. But you see, we go back to Balaam here. This ass knew things that Balaam did not know. We don't see any bucking. We don't see any hollering. We don't see any kicking. We don't see any shouting. But we see him riding into town on the colt, the foal of an ass, and mama with him. Amen. Why? Because Jesus came the first time, not as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but He came as the burden bearer. Hallelujah! He came on an ass, symbolizing the fact that He came, my friend, not to rule, but to bear the burden of the sins of the world.
Amen. That's
what John said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah! But, go now to Revelation chapter 19. You'll find there that when Jesus returns, He will not be riding upon a beast of burden. He will not be riding upon an ass or the foal of an ass. Instead, the Bible says there that He will be upon the back of a white horse. You know, when the king came to town back in these days, he didn't come to town riding on a donkey. What did he come into town riding on? A beautifully decorated and adorned white horse. What did that symbolize? That he was King of Kings. And he deserved recognition of that fact. The Bible says when Jesus returned, He has a vesture dipped in blood, and He has a name that's written thereon, and it says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It says the Word of God. Hallelujah. This world is looking for a king riding on a donkey. But when He comes, He'll be riding on a white horse, because when He comes the next time, He won't be coming to bear the burden, but He'll be coming to rule as King of Kings.
Amen.
And Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Friend, if you've not experienced the dumbass, then you'll never experience the white horse. Hallelujah. Thank God, somewhere along my life, April 14, 1972, God brought me to Jesus through a dumbass.
Amen.
Not just like Balaam did, but he got me there. Amen. And if he hadn't did that, friend, I'd be lost today. I'd be lost today. And so the donkey said to Balaam, "Why are you beating me?" I love the Bible. I don't know why it bores people. It don't bore me. "Why are you beating me?" When Stephen preached his sermon in Acts 7, and Peter used it also on the day of Pentecost, he talked about the people there, listen now, resisting the Holy Ghost. Friend, I want to tell you something. The Holy Ghost is just as powerful today as He's ever been. He's the third person of the Godhead, and He's still full of strength and power, and He's still trying to lead people to Christ and bring them to Him. But why aren't they coming like they used to? We've reached an educated state in our existence where we don't think we need God, and so when the Holy Ghost begins to lead us out in the field to meet this angel of the Lord, we resist Him and we smite Him. The Holy Ghost, just like Balaam did that ass.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
You'll never get saved. You'll never come to Christ until the Holy Ghost of God brings you to Christ.
Amen.
The ass brought him there. The ass got him there. And then God revealed Himself. Glory to God. Now I'm going to give you the last leg of my journey. I'd gotten so much interest now in God at this point in my life. At the Paramount Theater, which was a luxury theater in Gulfport, Mississippi. Carpet, kaput seats, it was the Cadillac of its day. It's gone now, it's torn down. I looked in the paper, and the paper said that the movie The Ten Commandments was coming to the Paramount Theater. Now, I went to see that when I was a child. I didn't know much about it, but I did have a memory of what it was about. So I said, "I'm going to go see that, Brother Larry."
Yeah.
Do you know when this was? April 14, 1972. And I went in that theater, just simply expecting to see this movie. It may learn a little bit more about what I had been creating a thirst for. A little bit more about God.
And I want you to know, when Moses went on that mountain, and that voice came from that bush and said, "Remove thy shoe from off of thy foot, for the ground whereon thy stand is holy ground." So when I heard that, and the Holy Ghost hammered me, I ran out of that theater. I ran out of that theater. And I went home and I got down by my bed. And I said, "God, forgive me of my sins.
Amen.
Jesus, come into my heart."
Amen.
You see, I didn't get there because I decided I was going there. You see, I was a dumbass. And I needed somebody to help me out. Amen. And thank God for the Holy Ghost of God.
Yes.
It brought me to the place that I could see Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Have you ever been saved? Have you ever been brought to that place? Or have you just decided, "Well, it's Sunday. I want to be a good citizen, a good person. I want to be a good influence, so I'll go to church." That won't help you. You need to get saved. You need the Holy Ghost to show you Jesus. Amen. Have you seen Him? If you've seen yourself in His reflection, you know that you're a sinner and you need to be saved. If you've never been saved, if you don't know that you're absolutely saved this morning, why don't you come down here and take my hand? Let's pray and let's ask God to save you. I can guarantee you one thing, if you do that, He'll save you. Amen.
Amen.
Because you didn't get there on your own. You got there because some dumbass told you there. And then collapse and dump you off right in front of them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God. Brother Ricky, you come. Lead us in a song.